This evening I want to read in two places. First of all, in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, and in chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And we will commence to read, please, at verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Verse 21 of the same chapter. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Our New Testament reading, please, in the Gospel by Matthew and in chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. We'll commence to read at verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That will suffice for scripture reading this evening. I want to speak to you this evening about some of the garments of the Bible. Or if you like, the subject of clothing as found in Holy Scripture. I have heard it said that this is a subject that would be particularly appealing to the women folk. They like the garments. But if my observations are correct, and I think they are, quite a number of the men folk have a fair measure of interest in the same subject. So I take it, it ought to be interesting to all of us, the garments of the Bible. And I want to put my simple message under these four headings and speak to you about garments needed, garments provided, garments accepted, and garments neglected. need it, provide it, accept it, and neglect it. Now, sometimes we hear it said, I would need a dress. I would need a suit. And strictly speaking, it's not that it's needed, but it's just we'd like to have it. But you couldn't say that about Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. As far as they were concerned, they were in real need. And it is important to notice, they understood their need. They weren't deceived. They knew exactly what they needed. They were in real need. Now, their need was because of their sin. For I would take it that previous to Adam and Eve having sinned, in some respects at least, they were like their Creator God, clothed with light, as with a garment. And then sin came in, and that's taken away. And they find themselves without a single thing. Their need was because of their sin. And it is because of your sinful condition and mine that we find ourselves in real spiritual need in the sight of a holy God. And it's not that I can tell you that you need it, and I don't. It's not that you can look at somebody else and say, they need it, but you don't. God has made it abundantly clear that every one of us, because of our sin, we are in need in the sight of God. Adam and Eve needed these garments because of the fact that they had to do with God. They had to meet Him. Now it is true that Adam sought to evade and said to himself, I'll not face up to meeting God. I'll hide. And it's interesting to notice where he would hide. He would hide amongst the trees of the garden. Now God gave those trees. He gave them for a real reason. But the reason was not that guilty man might hide and escape dealings with God. That's what Adam would make out of these trees, a hiding place. And you know, I have noticed, and likely some of the rest of you have noticed the same. Many a time I've asked a man, are you saved and going to heaven? And almost immediately he would say, but sir, do you not know? I have been baptized. Now, baptism is scriptural. But baptism is no hiding place for a guilty sinner. And if I have nothing other than baptism, I'm not right with God, and I'll not be in heaven. I've asked a woman occasionally, are you right with God? Are you going to heaven? Have you been born again? But sir, do you not know? I take the communion. The communion's right. Bible teaches that the disciples on the first day of every week would meet to break bread and drink wine. It's right, but it's no hiding place for a guilty sinner. And listen, friend, If you're not saved, don't you touch baptism. If you're not saved, don't you touch the communion. No hiding place. Trees were given, but not for a hiding place, for a guilty sinner. Baptism and communion have been given, but not as hiding places for a guilty sinner. Adam would try to hide. But you will notice, he didn't succeed. For the solemn moment came when ringing in his ear the voice of God, "Adam, where art thou?" Couldn't you nearly see the shivering, guilty man being brought out into the light before God? He found he couldn't hide from God. You could hide from the preacher. You could slip out past him at the door, not say a word to you. You'd stay at home for the meeting. But listen, friend. You can't hide from God. His eyes are upon you night and day. His ears are open to your every word. He sees exactly the thoughts of your mind and heart. And mind you, the words of Amos the prophet should come tumbling down the years tonight into our meeting when he said, "Prepare to meet thy God." You can't hide from God. Now, in light of that, I think it would be important just at this point for each of us to ask, in all good conscience, am I prepared this wet Wednesday night to meet God? Now, am I? I'm not asking you what you profess. Not asking you where you go on Sunday. I'm asking you, are you prepared to meet God? Is all well with your soul? Sins forgiven. Christ your Savior. You can't hide. You better come out into the light before God and face it. Garments needed because of his sin and because of the fact that he had to do with God. Now we want to see garments provided. And first of all, we will see them provided by man. For you know, Adam did, away in those early days, what people are doing this very day, trying to meet their own need and make themselves acceptable before God. What does Adam do? He makes a fig leaf apron. Now I would believe, if there was such a thing as getting a good fig leaf, he would get it. He wouldn't be happy to accept something that was second rate. Oh no, big thing, I've got to meet. I need something that's right. And if there was such a thing as sewing them together, I believe he would sew them together with the greatest possible care. No light transaction. This thing will not just be superficial. I need something real. And so he makes himself a fig leaf apron. Now how did he get on? Well, in a word, he didn't get on at all. Because I want you to notice, first of all, and note this carefully, please, it didn't even satisfy his own guilty conscience. If it had, he wouldn't have hidden behind the trees. Mind you, it's a good thing to have something to satisfy your conscience. When you go to bed at night and put out the light and settle down, isn't it a great thing to have something that gives you ease of conscience and mind and heart? I'm all right. I'm right with God. What I've got will stand examination. It will stand testings. The wear and tear of time will not remove it. I've got something solid. Great thing to have something to satisfy your conscience. I wonder if many of you folk in the meeting have got it. And your conscience at times is hard to stifle. would be an awful thing to have a conscience tormented by despair in eternity because you went across the line and you weren't right. Didn't even satisfy his own conscience. But somebody says, did it not satisfy God? Wasn't it his best? Yes, it was Adam's best, but it didn't satisfy God. Now, I hope everybody will be clear about this, that your best and mine, and mind you, I'm not speaking disparagingly of people's honesty and sincerity in this matter, but I'm speaking clearly from the Scriptures, your best and mine, however sincere we might be, will not suffice to meet our need or to satisfy the claims of God. All thy working, weeping, praying, never could salvation win. No avail. Adam made a fig leaf apron. I read of others who made garments. I read of someone in Isaiah 59. And God says about them that they weave the spider's web. Now, I'm sure it's the same in your country as it is in ours. When you go out in the morning with a fair bit of sunlight and dew, and you see the spider's web, why, it's a lovely little thing, sparkling with the drops of dew in the sunlight. And you say to yourself, that little creature put a lot of hard work into that. That little creature spent a good bit of time in doing that. It's a lovely thing, a spider's web. But wait now, you touch it, blow on it, goes to pieces. There's no durability, it'll not wear, not stand up to testing. And I'm prepared to admit quite freely, it's lovely to see a young woman, and her life is clean and commendable, and she'd read her Bible and pray. That's lovely. Nice to see a young man like that and an older friend. I have every sympathy with that from a human standpoint. But wait a minute now. One touch from God and that's gone. One breath from God and that's gone. It's just like the spider's web. There's no wear in it. I read about others and they had a garment. It wasn't a garment of fig leaves. It wasn't a garment like a spider's web. It was a garment of filthy rags. I mean, it's lovely to stand up here and look over a congregation of people, and girls and boys, and see them nicely dressed and clean and presentable. It's lovely. But isn't it a sad thing to remember that the very same people sometimes, the only thing they have to satisfy and meet the eye of God is a garment of filthy rags. Somebody says, what do you mean by that? Just what God says. Here's what he says now. He says, all our righteousnesses, mark you, not our unrighteousnesses, all our righteousnesses, that's the very best that we can do, in God's sight, just like filthy rags. And there's not one of you in this place would come into a meeting dressed in filthy rags. And yet isn't it sad to think that maybe you have nothing better to meet God with than that? All our righteousness as filthy rags. Adam makes a coat of skin and it doesn't meet his need. Garments provided by men. But I want you to see garments provided by God. For I love to note this. If Adam needs a garment and tries to provide it, and he fails, and it's of no avail, God just doesn't leave him there without hope. And he's still the same tender, pitiful, gracious, loving God, and he wouldn't leave men without hope if they'd only listen to him. What does he do for Adam? He makes Adam a coat of skin for his wife as well. And I suppose I'm right when I say that Adam and his wife were the first to wear fur coats. And they got them directly from the hand of God. But at best, mind you, they were second hand. For the animal had them first. Coats
of skin. Now you can see immediately the difference between what Adam provided and what God provided. Adam's was only a partial covering on something that would wither in days. But God provides something that's a complete covering on something that would stand up to the test of time. And you know what God provides and what man provides, they're still entirely different. The Bible speaks of garments of salvation. And I tell you, there's all the difference in the world in having that and having something that man, with his puny efforts, tries to make. He provides a coat of skin. But I want you to notice this. Before that coat of skin could be provided for Adam, some innocent animal must suffer and die. And sometimes I wonder about Adam. When he would look at that coat of skin and think, now that's God's provision to meet my need. Would it dim his eye with tears? Would it touch a chord in his heart? It was my sin that caused the suffering and death of that innocent animal. It was because I was a sinner in need that that creature suffered, that that creature died. I wondered, did it touch his heart? Come with me for a minute and we'll see if this will touch your heart and mine. See at the foot of that center cross a group of men. What are they doing? They're gambling. What for? The Savior's garment. Mind you couldn't look at that and not come to the conclusion that man's a hard rebel sinner when he sits at the foot of the Savior's cross, and while the Savior's in agony and shame, he's gambling for his garment. That's all he cares. But while they're doing that, what's the Savior doing? Yes, suffering what no tongue can tell. Why? In order to provide a garment of salvation for those guilty men at the foot of the tree. In order to provide a garment of salvation for this man that's talking to you tonight. In order to provide a garment of salvation for every one of you in this meeting that would like to have it. And tell me, did it ever touch your heart? As in spirit you viewed the cross and thought, my sin, responsible for his sufferings, for his death. He was taking my guilty place. He was bearing my sin. He was dying that I might be saved. A garment of salvation provided by the sacrifice and death of Christ. I somehow think I could nearly see Adam looking at that garment. Maybe his wife as well. That's a great covering, isn't it? And it was because God loved us that he provided it. We were guilty and we deserved to be banished. There wasn't a thing good about us. We had sinned in God's sight. But God was pitiful and merciful. God loved us. And he caused the animal to die that our need might be met. And oh, I look to the cross and I think of that amazing salvation provided by the sacrifice of Christ. And I say, wasn't it good of God? It dawns on me at this minute. Way down in a little place in County Antrim, there was an old believer who was very shy. And they could hardly ever get him on the platform. But on one occasion he was persuaded to get up and give his testimony. He told how as a young man he was reckless and a heavy drinker. And he had an old invalid father at home. And said, he not only did I drink myself, but he said, I carried the drink to my father in the home. till both of us were as drunk as could be. And then, said he, gospel meetings came into the country. And said he, I was persuaded to attend. And said he, I got saved. And then, said he, I started to carry the gospel to my dear old father at home, and he got saved. And just at that point in the testimony meeting, the old man broke down. He could go no further. And he was just about to sit down from the platform. Amidst his tears, he said, wasn't it good of God to save the like of me? And wasn't it good of God? Wasn't it good of God to provide for Adam in all his guilt and need? And wasn't it good of God to provide for me? And listen, friend, he saved you just the same as he saved me. For he loves you just as much as he loved me. And the work of Christ on Calvary would be sufficient to meet your need as it was sufficient to meet mine. Garments provided. Let's see for a moment or two. Garments accepted. What had Adam to do? Try and follow this if you'd like to be saved. What had Adam to do in order to benefit from what God provided? Had he to work? No. He had tried working, and it was useless. He'd worked away at the fig leaf apron, but it was useless. He hadn't to work, and he hadn't to pay, for he had nothing wherewith to pay. And he hadn't even to get down on his knees and beseech God to do something for him. What had he to do? Just one thing. He just had to stand, if you like. Or maybe two things. One, get rid of his old garment. A useless piece of stuff anyway. Get rid of it. Just do what blind Bartimaeus did. Cast away his garment. He had to get rid of his own. And then what to do? Just stand there and allow this loving God to put on him the garment that he had provided. He just had to accept what God provided. When the prodigal came home from the far country, you remember what the father said to the servant? He said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Now let me digress for just a moment. The best robe. I've told you two or three times in these meetings that I've been saved for 55 and a half years. Been preaching the gospel now full time for 44 years. And you know, the more I think about it, the more I'm convinced that this is the best rope. There's nothing comparable to God's salvation. Nothing. It's the best rope. Might I say about it? It's the fashion of heaven. Maybe not too fashionable down here betimes. But then that doesn't matter very much, for we're not going to be very long here at the best, mind you. 100 years from tonight, and not one of us on the scenes of time will all be on the other side, either in heaven or hell. We'll not be here very long. Needn't worry too much about what to think about salvation down here. But it's the fashion of heaven. Everybody up there will be clothed in a garment of salvation. It's not only fashionable, but it will fit. You know, you could hardly go into a store and buy a garment of a peg that would just fit you exactly. You need to get some wee bit of something done to it, and then maybe when they do that, they spoil it. But here's something, and it fits. I heard recently about a series of meetings, and this wee boy of 9 got saved. The garment of salvation fitted him perfectly. Maybe wee boy in this meeting, and a wee girl, it would fit you in this meeting. Garment of salvation. In that same series of meetings, I heard about an old man of 90 who got saved, and the garment of salvation fitted him perfectly. It will fit everybody. But more than that, It's not only the fashion of heaven and will fit, but it's free. Not many good things free these days. Not many. And nearly everything that is free is not worth much at the best. But here's something. And you see Adam, and he hadn't a coin in his hand, and not a prayer to say, and not a work to do. Just stand there, a guilty, naked, helpless man, and the God who loved him and provided for him put it on him. Father said to the servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Now, I watched some people who, when they want to be saved, and you'd nearly think it was worded something like this. Bring forth the best robe and tell them to struggle themselves into it the best they can. And they struggle and they work, and as we say in Ireland, the foot are at it today. They struggle. Didn't say that. Said, put it on. Just let him stand there with his hands down and his head bowed. He's guilty and he's needy. But you bring it out and you put it on. It's free. It has just to be accepted. A place yonder in Belfast called the Customs House Steps. It used to be a great place for open air meetings. There's a man in business in the city, an extensive businessman in the drapery trade. And not only was he that, he was a Christian and he did a bit of preaching. And he went every Sunday afternoon to this particular place to preach. And one Monday morning when he was opening his business establishment, a poorly clad man came up. And mentioning him by name, he said, Mr. Arnett, I was wondering if you had an old overcoat you didn't need. For he said, this one of mine's got worn and thin and the weather's very cold. And as well as being a draper and a preacher, he was a quick thinker. He said, if you come to the meeting on Sunday afternoon, I'll have a new coat for you. And they talked a few minutes and he went on with the business and the man disappeared. Saturday night when he was leaving, he papered up a coat which he judged by his eye would fit the man. He went out to preach on Sunday afternoon. He took his text from Romans 3. The righteousness of God is unto all, and it's offered to all, but it's upon all them that believe. Offered to all, but only upon all them that believe. When he preached about that a few minutes now, he said, I want to illustrate it. And he stopped, and he stooped down, and he opened the parcel, and he took out this lovely new overcoat and he held it up to the crowd. He said, I'll give that coat to the first man that comes up and lets me put it on. And from away at the back of the crowd slipped up this poorly clad man. And the preacher took the coat, he put it on him and he turned him round and he buttoned it. Now he said, that's yours. How'd he get it? Just the way I got salvation 55 and a half years ago. I just took from God what he provided at infinite cost. And I thanked him for it from the depths of my heart. And I've done so nearly every day ever since. That's how you could get it tonight. What does Romans 6:23 say? It says the gift of God. Well, you think of it. Having provided salvation at such infinite cost. This holy God comes out to guilty sinners. He says, there's the gift of eternal life, and it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. No wonder we sing sometimes, take with rejoicing from Jesus at once the life everlasting he gave. If there's anybody in the meeting tonight would like to receive this great gift, the garment of salvation. Adam received it. And he received it from the hand of God. And he's clothed from head to foot in a coat of skin. Garments provided.
When I just dare I close, I want you to see garments neglected. Story of the wedding feast in Matthew 22. Those who seem to know would tell us that not only at these Eastern feasts was food and other things provided, but actually garments were provided and put at a convenient place where a guest coming in could get one, put it on, and go in and sit down and be accepted. Now here's a man. Now I don't know what his thought was. Maybe he thought, I hear them talking about needing a garment, but I'll just see how I get on without one. Don't you let the devil deceive you. You'll not get on without salvation. He didn't. We'll see that in a minute. Maybe he thought, well, my own garment's just as good as what the king would provide. My garment's all right. May have thought that. He learned at solemn cost. That was not so. And to me, there's a very sad thing about this story. It's just this. He sat amongst the guests, and apparently not one of them detected that he wasn't right. Not one of them. Now, I don't want to labor that, but I'll say this. It would be possible to sit amongst the choicest company of saints and never be detected and not be right. Mind you, it's well to test your bearings and be sure that you're right. But the moment came when the king came in. And though the place was full, it says he saw there a man. Seemingly, his eye caught this one man. He makes no mistakes. He could see immediately things were not right. And sometimes I feel touched as I read how he spoke to him. He said, "Friend, how camest thou in?" Much as to say, "Now I'm not your enemy. I'm your friend. How camest thou in, not having on a wedding garment?" You've noticed, I take it, what he said? You noticed that? Says he was speechless. Not a word. Why? What could he say? A garment there? He needed it? He could have had it? He ventured in without it. What could he say? He couldn't say, "I didn't know." He couldn't say, "There is no garment." He couldn't say, "I had no opportunity." All he could do was just bow his head in silence. He was speechless. With this result, the king said, "Bind him." That is, take away his liberty. He's had liberty up to this minute. And isn't it nice to think that you have liberty? Oh, my dear friend, tonight you have liberty. You have liberty to do what's right. May God help you to do it. You have liberty. You're free. You're not bound. But now the moment comes when his liberty is taken away. He's bound. Not only is his liberty taken away, but he's taken away. Take him away. He sat amongst the guests, but that's finished. Take him away from the light and company of the banquet hall. And then, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And if I would bend my ear and hear those awful sounds and ask why, one word would describe it. Neglect. There was need,
There was a garment. There was opportunity. There was liberty. But he failed to avail himself of it. And he's in outer darkness. In despair and anguish. Oh, my friend, as I close another meeting, could I tenderly, lovingly appeal to your heart? If you neglect the salvation of God, fail to avail yourself of what God has provided, it'll be eternal despair, eternal darkness, and the unanswerable question that heaven, earth, or hell can't answer. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Would you like to neglect it and perish? Or would you like to stand still and say, now I need it, and I can see that it has been provided, and I'm not going to neglect it another night. I'm going to accept the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Garments needed. Garments provided. Garments accepted. Oh, what a joy would be in your heart and in ours if at the close of the meeting you could tell us you have accepted God's provision. May the Lord help you to get there.